Oh, so that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
All right, we're recording. So we're on Psalm 33?
33, yeah.
All right.
Let's open it for Father, thank you again for this day and your presence with us. I'm going to ask you to open your word to us and teach us that which we need to know to fulfill your will in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing forth, O you righteous, to the Lord. It is fit that the upright acclaim him. Praise the Lord with the lyre, with the ten-stringed harp, sing to him. Sing him a new song. Play sweetly with shouts of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, his every deed is faithful. He loves what is right and just. The earth is full of the Lord's faithful care. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth all their host. He heaps up the ocean waters like a mound, stores the deep in vaults. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world dread him. For he spoke and it was, he commanded and it endured. The Lord frustrates the plans of nations, brings to naught the design of peoples. What the Lord plans endures forever, what he designs for ages on end. Happy the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen to be his own. The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, who discerns all their doings. Kings are not delivered by a large force. Warriors are not saved by great strength. Horses are a false hope for deliverance. For all their great power, they provide no escape. Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who wait for his faithful care, to save them from death, to sustain them in famine. We set our hope on the Lord. He is our help and shield. In him our hearts rejoice. For in his holy name we trust. May we enjoy, O Lord, your faithful care as we have put our hope in you.
Now, should we go through it line by line?
Yeah, we can go through it now in more detail. I just wanted to do that.
What version are you using, Paul?
JPS.
Okay, because King James is different.
It's quite different. Yeah.
A lot of different.
Well, if
I have a new King James. It's so the exact same thing. It just takes up the old English.
Point. It would be interesting when you see some significant difference pointed out.
That's oh, sure.
Okay.
The first verse, sing forth, O you righteous, to the Lord. It is fit that the upright acclaim him.
And this one says rejoice in the Lord, which is what I'm used to hearing.
Rejoice?
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mine does too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different meaning.
Well, sometimes the original has both, implies both, and so it's a question of choice as to which meaning you're going to emphasize.
Mm.
I'm trying to go through this, and I'm on verse 10 already. I don't have any commentary prior to that.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what I would say here. I like the fact that it emphasizes the sing forth, O you righteous, to the Lord. In fact, I'm interested in the pronoun that in the Hebrew here, it's, it says, rejoice, righteous in the Lord. And I wonder, yeah, I suppose that's pretty much the same depending on. You're rejoicing in the Lord, be righteous or rejoice. Because they're saying sing to rejoice, then they have to put the two instead in the translation. It is fit the upright acclaim him. All right, we'll go down to 10. Verse 10. For the Lord frustrates the plans of nations, brings to naught the designs of peoples. That's consistent with Psalm 2. He sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, mm-hmm. where you have all the nations planning together how they can frustrate God's plan, and God says he's sitting in the heavens laughing at that idea.
You will hold them in derision.
Yeah. Go on.
I was going to go to verse...
I want to do 12 too. Happy the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen to be his own. Now you would think it would say, happy the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who have chosen to be his own. Because we always think in terms of our choice. Mm-hmm. But it actually starts with God's choice.
I was going to comment on verse 11, the one previous to that, where it says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the mm-hmm. plans of his heart to all generations. I think that that's really interesting, because we seem to think that truth changes and evolves over every generation. Like, well, what we understood back then is not really what we hold to now, and we have a more enlightened understanding. But yet it says his counsel stands forever without change. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen as his own.
So the difference, there, blessed is the word. That's the different word there.
What does yours say?
I said happy, and it's...
Oh.
Those are two different things.
I think the verse read in the opposite is true, too. That we could say, cursed is the nation who rejects the Lord. You know, since blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Right there.
Blessed is okay. I understand why they chose happy. Happy in English has some very problematic.
Blessed means to be manifestly happy.
Yeah. But the problem is, in English, the word happy has etymological implications that I don't care for, because happy is the God of chance. And what we're saying in our language is the happy person is the person who is blessed by fortune, so to speak. So it implies a theology. There's a hidden theology in our language. Remember, we were talking about how language can shape your thought, your worldview. I think we were talking about that last time.
I don't recall necessarily.
Okay. But I think there's a class, somewhat. I know we don't think of happy that way anymore. We think happy just means to be light-hearted, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think blessed means having been given a gift.
Yeah.
It's a blessing, and that's different than happy. Its essential meaning is different.
Well, the word is not blessed in Hebrew. That is because blessed would be, you know, to bless is Baruch, and it's not Baruch, it's Ashrei. And so it... I think the happiness, as we think of it, is maybe more close to the original, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's consistent with my commentary.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And he refashions the hearts of them all.
That's
yeah.
the one.
Yeah.
It's like from the place of his dwelling, he looks on the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, if you believe in the doctrine of election, then you have to also hold to the doctrine of reprobation.
I think also it's implying here that since God is the one who made us all, he is the one who is best able to he sees into their heart. He sees the hearts of man. You know, like the verse that says, "Man looketh at the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart." He's the one who fashioned the heart. He knows what's in man's heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you may be going about doing, you know, fashioning your plans and think that, you know, everything is hidden from God's eyes because it's all in your heart. But he sees your heart. He knows what's in your heart.
Yeah. I like where it says, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army.
Mm-hmm.
A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety." That's reminds me of the verse that says, "Unless...
the Lord builds the house.
Yeah.
They labor in vain."
Yeah. I love that verse too. All of our attempts at security, it's really God who provides us security.
And certainly the history of Israel in the Old Testament shows the truth of that.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when they were faced with incredible obstacles. I mean, military. They were surrounded by armies, and the Lord delivered them. Other times where they figured out what they were going to do, and they were wiped out because they proceeded in either opposition to God's will or, yeah, in all cases it was in opposition. I was just reading in Ezekiel this morning, and where the people that had rebelled, Babylon had set up this sort of puppet king in Israel after they captured the city of Jerusalem. And of course then he rebels against Babylon, and the people are now scared and they go off. They're planning to go to Egypt to secure a safe safety. And the prophet's telling them how it's not going to work. They think they're going to go there to be saved, and it's not that's their plan, but it's not God's plan. So I think it's appropriate for us to keep that in mind.
I like how it says in verse 19, to keep them alive in famine. Pinkowitz says that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, if you're a child of God, your food is sure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be worrying about, like, you don't have to be a doomsday prepper or anything like mm-hmm. that. You're going to be taken care of.
Yeah. I think that's...
I don't have anything else.
That's all good. Let's look at verse 21 of the minute. Okay. Good. Start with 30. Let's read 34. Do you want to read it this time, John?
Okay. So it says, this is the Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Mm-hmm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and delivers them.
Now, isn't that verse, you have the concordance, Len?
No.
Does
really.
It give a cross reference to a New Testament verse?
No.
Mine does.
In
well,
which?
No. Mine just says. Hold on. B. Let me look at that. We're on 7B. Mine references Daniel 6, 22.
Maybe
and 2
I'm incorrect.
Kings.
Maybe I'm incorrect, but that's.
What were you thinking about?
I thought it was quoted. Somewhere in the New Testament. I may be mistaken.
The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I don't know what I'm thinking of. I don't have my concordance.
I don't know. I'll look in the commentary. The phrase angel of the Lord and the manual often interchange with this. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about
okay.
it. camps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Bless
now, your reference to Kings, I'm sorry, your reference to Kings, that's, I think what that's referring to is when the, I think it was Gehazi comes up to Elisha and says, "There's, look at all the armies." And then he said, prays and says, open his eyes. Elisha prays and God opens his servant's eyes and he sees that there's angels out there all around them. Look the verse up, it'd be interesting. It's probably what it is.
Yeah. So we answer, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.
Yeah.
Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Yeah, yeah. That's what that is.
That's very good.
Okay, go on.
So, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Verse 20 points to the crucifixion where it says not one of his bones will be broken.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fulfillment as well. I liked how it says in verse 5 it says, well, 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant.
Hmm.
Isn't
Stephen.
There a verse when regarding Moses when he came down from the mountain that he was
his
radiant?
That he had to cover his face because he the glory of the Lord was shining from his face. So and also
because he was in his presence.
I
so
think,
when he came down to the mountain to the rest of the assembled Israelites, like he was glowing. Isn't that weird? Just from being in his presence.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. It's like when they looked at him and were radiant. So it's like this like absorbing that radiance. Like
doesn't
Moses
also
was told, was said to have done that he was like glowing when he came down from the mountain.
So what do you think about verse 10? 34:10.
The young lion lacks and suffers hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that refers to what I was saying before, that when it says that he will keep them alive in famine, again, I think that everything you need is secured and taken care of, that you will lack nothing. As a child of God, even though other animals may lack, we won't lack.
Okay.
That was verse 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you looking something up, Dad?
No, it's okay.
All right.
For those who fear him like that. I don't think that means we don't think we lack things, because I think people think they lack things all the time. But
right. Right, because there's another verse that says, with food and raiment, with these you should be content.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not even clothing is mentioned in that. Well, no,
no,
sorry.
It is. It's
shelter
not
is not
is
mentioned
not
in that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I
like 7, where it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That brings up a whole other discussion.
What's that?
In this, I mean, what does that mean when it says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them? I mean, is that, you know, there's theories about everyone having, you know, a guardian angel,
mm-hmm.
angels surrounding those. I mean, is that what that's referring to?
I don't think it's necessarily, I don't know if there is a guardian angel that's assigned to everybody. I really don't know where in the Bible that is ever mentioned. Do you?
I will give my angels charge over you.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that in general, but I mean a specific angel for a specific angel for each individual. I don't know if that's true,
but in any case, the point stands, there is a protection of God's children in this world.
Right.
And that's a beautiful verse to know that, you know, that it encamps around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, come on. So, yeah, I like that verse. What else should we discuss?
Well, verse 19, the Lord's close to the brokenhearted, those crushed in spirit he delivers. And isn't there a verse that says that...
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to... There probably are cross-references for that. I don't...
Murder. Mosque aside.
Use this thing. Don't
oh, wait. Here he is.
No, you missed him.
Almost.
Close, though. Yeah, Lynn, don't shush him away. Use this. You push this button.
Oh, well, you're the expert on that.
Dad, what were you saying?
No, I can't. I
knew the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's when you were...
No, I was talking about a brokenhearted spirit, and I just wanted to know what other, if there are cross or similar verses otherwhere.
Which verse is that?
18.
I just like to see.
Let me look at my
see if you have any cross references for that.
Well, this is what the margin note says on that.
And it says, unto them that are of broken heart, Hebrew, to the forsaken, broken of heart. Yeah. That probably is true.
I think mine has Isaiah 57:50.
Yeah, it's Lane Shevri Lev, and that's like a shattered heart. Well, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, in the Beatitudes. I think that is maybe the best cross-reference for this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
What's wrong with that? What is he doing?
Those crushed in spirit he delivers. Okay, O Lord, strive with my adversaries. Give battle to my foes. Take up shield and buckler and come to my defense. Ready the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Tell me, I am your deliverance. It's probably salvation.
That's what mine says.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good.
Lee. Well, I'm used to this translation. Yes, sure. Let those who seek my life be frustrated and put to shame. Let those who plan to harm me fall back in disgrace. Let them be as chaff in the wind, the Lord's angel driving them on. Let their path be dark and slippery with the Lord's angel in pursuit. For without cause they hid a net to trap me. Without cause they dug a pit for me. Let disaster overtake them unawares. Let the net they hid catch them. Let them fall into it when disaster strikes. Then shall I exult in the Lord, rejoice in his deliverance. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? You save the poor from one stronger than he, the poor and needy from his despoiler. Malicious witnesses appear who question me about things I do not know. They repay me evil for good, seeking my bereavement. Yet when they were ill, my dress was sackcloth. I kept the fast. May what I prayed for happen to me. I walked about as though it were my friend or my brother. I was bowed with gloom like one mourning for his mother. But when I stumble, they gleefully gather. Wretches gather against me. I know not why. They tear at me without end. With impious mocking grimace, they gnash their teeth at me. O Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from all their attacks. My precious life from lions, that I may praise you in a great congregation, acclaim you in a mighty throne. Let not my treacherous enemies rejoice over me, or those who hate me without reason wink their eyes. For they do not offer amity, but devise fraudulent schemes against harmless folk. They open wide their mouths at me, saying, Aha, aha, we have seen it. You have seen it, O Lord, and do not hold aloof. O Lord, be not far from me. Wake, rouse yourself for my cause, for my claim, O my God, my Lord. Take up my cause, O Lord, my God, as you are beneficent, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not think, aha, just what we wished. Let not them say, we have destroyed it. May those who rejoice at my misfortune be frustrated and utterly disgraced. May those who vaunt themselves over me be clad in frustration and shame. May those who desire my vindication sing forth joyously. May they always say, extolled be the Lord, who desires the well-being of his servant. While my tongue shall recite your beneficent acts, your praises all day long. The heading on this psalm says, of David. It's a psalm that David wrote. And David, of course, was his half of his life, was, or a good portion of his life, he was on the verge of being killed by one. First it was Saul, and then his own sons rebelled against him.
Yeah.
On, I think, two occasions. I think Absalom was one, and I think David's firstborn also, at the end of his life, briefly tried to take the kingship, even though David had wanted Solomon to be the successor. But he was always in this, like, running as a fugitive, and therefore wrote a psalm like this. I think it's also, as is almost always the case with the Psalms, what's true of David is, in a way, true of Christ.
David, you any croissants?
And I think, in a sense, as David was a renegade outcast, so to speak, even though he was rightfully the king, he was God's anointed. In a sense, that is a picture of Christ in this age. He's rightfully the king, but he is a renegade outcast in the eyes of the world. And his people on this earth, being his body, his presence on this earth, are in that position, therefore, also.
That's really, really interesting.
I think that's how we should look at a lot of these psalms, as the voice of Christ speaking now, in this time, present time.
That's really, really interesting, Dad.
So, I don't know what the time is like. Should we do one more?
It's 20 minutes to 12.
Okay. Well, you take this one.
Is there anything else we can say?
Oh, no. Judge, please. Go on.
Mm. It's a big song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have anything else.
Okay.
So we'll go on to 36.
Okay.
An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise. To do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O Lord. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Mm-hmm. What can we say about that? I like the verse, first verse, where it says, there is no fear of God before his eyes. That's what Charles Lawson always talks about, that in the when he's talking about the horrible crimes that are committed in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there's no fear of God in their eyes. And it's like, and I think that that's true. Mm-hmm. I think that if they're was the fear of God, instead it would curtail people's behavior, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But because we've removed that, they have no, like, there's, they have, and that's Charles Lawson's point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't believe in God, there's no problem with them just taking someone and raping them and murdering them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've removed the fear of God, whereas I think in previous generations there was a healthy fear of God before people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In some people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, there's always exceptions, mm-hmm. but that doesn't negate the rule. Whereas now, there was almost no fear of God before people's eyes.
Right.
And I think we're seeing that, or the result of that in this society.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We used to. I think, in general, everybody was going to church, and the church was the center of the community, and it was just, you couldn't, culturally, you couldn't escape that influence, right? Whereas, thank you, Davis, whereas now, you can easily escape that.
I think you're probably right.
You know, so just being,
but we weren't there,
a
so.
Citizen back in the 1700s, the whole culture was designed around this Christian worldview, which I think was healthy. Whereas now you don't have to be influenced by that. But I think it's a, it's true. I think when there's no fear of God, you're emboldened to do anything. And then that's what the next verse says, where he flatters himself in his own eyes.
I think there's a universal aspect of this too, though, John, where instead of saying it was better in the old days, which Ecclesiastes say we shouldn't say.
I mean, were we there?
No. I
know, because we do tend to, everybody tends to do that. Oh, it was better in the old days.
I can't believe that it ever was.
But there were some pretty bad things done in the past, too.
I've always struggled in Ecclesiastes.
But there's, and so there's a universal truth here that it's typical for people to ignore God's judgment. I think because God says he's slow to wrath and he's merciful, and he, as Peter says, that it's the patience of God is waiting on us in the days of Noah, you know, when the ark was being built for.
Yeah.
God's restraining his wrath, and that emboldens men to lose the fear of God, actually.
Right.
They say, well,
because
I haven't seen any judgment.
It says because judgment is not executed quickly.
Yeah. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but those who know the Lord know that, well, even though the judgment is being deferred, it's not that there is no judgment. That's what is what we can't lose sight of.
I think what you need to remember too, though, is a person's life is cumulative in its knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that a lot of people do when they're young, they're going, oh, that's not so bad. It's probably not the right thing to do, but it's not so bad. I'm going to do it. And then 50 years later, they go, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. Because with age, you get wisdom based on more experience. So I think that it's not necessarily iniquity so much as inexperience, stupidity.
Oopsie-daisies.
Not just oopsie-daisies, but just bad judgment on the part of young people, because they don't, they really don't understand what's going on.
I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago. You know, I heard a saying, it was like, when you're at the, when you come to the end of your life, you'll regret more the things you didn't do than the things you did do. And I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, that's only true for the unregenerate. You know, if you are not a child of God, then that's true. Yes, you'll, because everything you've done is going to be, or not experienced, is going to be a lost experience, and you'll regret the things you didn't do. But as a child of God, you'll look back and you go, man, I repent of the things I did, and instead of saying you'll regret more the things you didn't do, you'll regret the things you did do. It's the exact opposite. Does that make sense?
Though. Yeah, but you think maybe I could have done these other things and it would have been so much better. Mm-hmm. It would have been so much better for everybody around me. And, you know, it's that's why you get judged at the end, mm-hmm. because you grow in wisdom as you get older. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
Yeah. Let's see what else we can say. Dad, I know that you want to comment on verse 11 where it says, let not the foot of pride.
No, I don't want to comment on it. But I do.
But you what?
But, you know, I'm aware.
I'm aware. We were referring to
Bob Dylan's song.
Foot of pride. And it's like there ain't no coming back when the foot of pride comes down. Mm. There ain't no coming back, and that's what he's referring to. Well, we have 13 minutes.
All right,
we want to try to knock this last one.
We can do 37 too.
You can do that. Yeah,
sure.
You can do that.
Do not be vexed by evil men. Do not be incensed by wrongdoers, for they soon wither like grass, like verdure fade away. And I'm going to stop right here and comment, because there's a verse in, and you may have several verses in Ecclesiastes, which I think support this. And you may know what I'm referring to. One where he says, when you see injustice in a province, don't, he said, marvel at it. I think it's the term. You know the one I'm talking about? There's Ecclesiastes. Let's see. We can find it.
There's a lot of things in Ecclesiastes.
I know. Well, let's find one of them. It up. Yeah, if you see in a province, verse 7, if you see in a province oppression of the poor and suppression of right and justice, don't wonder at the fact, for one high official is protected by a higher one, and both of them by still higher ones. Thus, the greatest advantage in all the land is his. He controls a field that is cultivated. But David is, when he says don't wonder at it, and David says don't be vexed by evil men, they're acknowledging the fact that that's the way things go in the world, but it's not forever, and ultimately, as we just pointed out in the previous chapter we read, there is the judgment of God. So David says, don't be vexed. Trust in the Lord and do good. I think that's the best answer to when you're faced with the awareness of evil in the world, is to say, well, what, you know, and you say, what can I do? Well, I think that's the answer. Trust in the Lord and do good.
Yeah, that's well said.
Abide in the land and remain loyal. It's not necessarily running away, but standing firm and remaining loyal in being faithful to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Seek the favor of the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Leave all to the Lord. Trust in him. He will do it. He will cause your vindication to shine forth like the light, the justice of your case like the noonday sun. Be patient and wait for the Lord. Do not be vexed by the prospering man who carries out his schemes. Give up anger. Abandon fury. Do not be vexed. It can only do harm. This is all like one theme here.
Mm-hmm.
For evil men will be cut off, but those who look to the Lord, they shall inherit the land.
That's definitely a reference to
in Matthew 5.
Yeah.
Blessed are. I think it's, again, the poor in spirit, right?
The meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
They shall inherit the earth, yeah. A little longer, and there will be no wicked man. You will look at where he was, he will be gone. But the lowly shall inherit the land and delight in abundant well-being. The wicked man schemes against the righteous and gnashes with his teeth at him. The Lord laughs at him, for he knows that his days will come. The wicked draw their swords behind their bows to bring down the lowly and needy, to slaughter upright men. Their swords shall pierce their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. It's like what we were reading in Proverbs last time. It says about the people who, you know, plot together to get unrighteous gain, and it says they lie in wait for their own lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wicked draw their swords, bend their bows to bring down the lowly, to slaughter upright men. Their swords shall pierce their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. Better the little that the righteous man has than the great abundance of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord is the support of the righteous. The Lord is concerned for the needs of the blameless. Their portion lasts forever. They shall not come to grief in bad times. In famine they shall eat their fill. There's the verse again, John. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be consumed like meadow grass, consumed in smoke. The wicked man borrows and does not repay. The righteous is generous and keeps giving. Those blessed by him shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are made firm by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he stumbles, he does not fall down, for the Lord gives him support. I have been young and now old, but I have never seen a righteous man abandoned, or his children seeking bread. He is always generous and lends, and his children are blessed. Shun evil and do good, and you shall abide forever. For the Lord loves what is right. He does not abandon his faithful ones. They are preserved forever, while the children of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and abide forever in it. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is right. The teaching of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous, seeking to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power. He will not let him be condemned in judgment. Look to the Lord and keep to his way, and he will raise you high that you may inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I saw a wicked man, powerful, well-rooted like a robust native tree. Suddenly he vanished and was gone. I sought him, but he was not to be found. Mark the blameless, note the upright, for there is a future for the man of integrity. But transgressors shall be utterly destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The deliverance of the righteous comes from the Lord, their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them from the wicked and delivers them, for they seek refuge in him.
That's a great song.
What was he thinking of?
No, when it says in verse 34, when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it.
Yeah.
Isn't there a verse in Isaiah that says in the...
What?
When, like, in the presence of the saints, he will condemn the wicked or something like that. That's what I was thinking of. I can't remember where that is.
I can't, couldn't tell you either.
It's either Isaiah or Revelation.
No, that one I know the one you, I know we've talked about that in the past,
yeah.
But I don't remember the reference.
Anyway, it's an interesting verse.
Okay, thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us and your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. You just stop.